these algebraic equations, in a sense, describe bond wave stabilization in the black hole horizon. And in another way, one can derive that introducing the so-called black hole potential, which is a function of the scalars, and it has schematically this form, where this Z is a central charge. I'll give more details about it later. And the point is that the Suzy critical points of this function give exactly the attractor equations that give stabilization of the moduli in terms of the charges. So the main idea of this talk is to see whether a similar situation can occur in flux complexifications in string theory. And well, that idea is due to Kalush originally. So in string complexifications, pretty much everybody here knows there are many moduli which describe the formations of the internal manifold. And in principle, there is no potential for them. However, various parameters of the four-dimensional theory do depend on those moduli. So in order to make any contact between string theory and phenomenology, one needs to fix, to stabilize those moduli. And there are various ways to do that, like turning on background fluxes or considering perturbative and non-perturbative corrections. But the idea that I'll explore here is whether one can substitute the minimization of the scalar potential with studying of some set of algebraic, some set of attractor equations. And how does this come about? Well, let's first concentrate on type 2B Calabi oriented folds. That's the context in which Kalush proposed attractors for flux vacuum for the first time. So as you know, there are complex and scalar structure moduli for a Calabi owl. And the background fluxes generate a potential only for the complex structure moduli. And then the potential in the n equals 1 four-dimensional supergravity theory has this form, where, well, this is slight rewriting, but this is just a standard potential. And it's written in this way so that it looks more like the black hole potential as I showed in the previous slide. And this central charge is just the exponential of the carrier potential over 2 times the superpotential. And now the supersymmetric minima are solutions of this equation. And the basic idea that Kalush had was that since this potential looks very similar to a black hole case, and the supersymmetric minima are given by the same equation that gives the critical points of the black hole potential, and also the moduli in both cases parameterize a special Keller manifold, then it's sensible to expect that for those flux vacua, again, the supersymmetric minimum conditions can be rewritten as a set of attractor equations. And well, if that is true, then it gives a new perspective on moduli stabilization. Namely, one can study this set of equations instead of minimizing the potential. So it doesn't mean that those would be very simple equations, but they would certainly be somewhat simpler than the original potential. So what I want to explore is how generic is this mechanism? Does it occur only in this original situation that Kalush proposed it for 2B Calabi oriented folds, or does it happen also for more generic complexifications? And well, so first I'll review the black hole attractors, and then I'll talk about the flux vacua attractors in the context of type 2B. And I should say that those attractors that Kalush proposed, so far it was not actually verified explicitly that they do indeed give supersymmetric minima of the scalar potential. So that's one of the results of this work. And well, then I'll turn to generalizations, and it will turn out that there are indeed only, well, although only for Minkowski vacua, but there are attractor equations for heterotic complexifications on non-Keller manifolds and for type 2A and B on SU3 times SU3 structure. And again, a bit summary.
You wrote down B equals not B, that's right. Isn't that true of any 4D n equals 1 supergravity?
Yeah. That was just the center.
So why type 2A on a Calabi owl necessarily? Any 4D theory will have this property.
Well, but I'm talking about flux vacua in string complexifications. That's the generic n equals 1 supergravity potential.
Yeah.
But I want to argue that there are attractor equations. Well, maybe when I get into more details, you'll see what I mean. But of course, that's just the standard potential. Here, I was just pointing out that it's very similar to the situation for black hole attractors. So far,
so yours will be the second one, the SU3 cross SU3, that will be your work, and presumably the
both are my work, and also this is also my work.
Yeah. But Villagara has also given a set of.
Yeah, his proposals are wrong. All of them are wrong. I also showed that. They also fail. So he did. He gave proposals for the heterotic, and he had some stuff mumbled for type 2, but they're all wrong. So, and actually, I can say that they're wrong exactly because they understand how to verify the original conjecture, whereas he didn't, and that's why the mistake happened. So things were generalized before it was clear exactly how they're supposed to work. So, well, the black hole attractors, as I already said, occur in a four-dimensional n equals two supergravity. And, well, one considers the supergravity multiplet coupled to a certain number of n equals two vector multiplets. And in this theory, well, all couplings are determined by the prepotential. And, well, let me denote the moduli by t and t bar. And so the moduli space is described by special Keller geometry. So I'm not going to go into much detail about it. I'll just give you a few properties that are important. And generically, to describe special Keller geometry, one needs a certain number of symplectic sections, which satisfy a certain constraint. And they're covariantly homomorphic, which just means that they satisfy this condition. And, well, then one can introduce homomorphic sections. Homomorphic means the usual stuff, using the Keller potential. So, well, one of the important features is that the Keller potential in special Keller geometry, in terms of those homomorphic sections, has this form. So, now let's get to the black hole attractor equations. Well, the black hole solutions are just BPS states which have a certain number of charges. And these are electric and magnetic charges. They are in the four-dimensional theory, so they're defined in the usual way. These are just some field strands. So they are with one more than the number of vector multiplets, because remember, there is also a vector field in the supergravity multiplet. And well, the black hole potential has this form, whereas the central charge is given in this simple way in terms of the charges and the symplectic sections. So the central charge is a function of the moduli and the charges. And the dependence on the moduli comes through those symplectic sections. The dependence on the charges is explicit. And now the critical points are solutions of this equation. And the attractor equations come from the rewriting of this equation in this following form. So, well, the dependence on the moduli is a bit more complicated on the right-hand side. But in principle, those equations state the fact that the black hole horizon, the moduli, are fixed in terms of the charges. And, well, that's the basic idea to try to explore whether similar equations can be written for flux vacua. So now, for flux vacua, let's first concentrate on the type 2B collateral oriented poles, which are the first context in which the attractors were proposed by Renata Kalush. And as I was saying before, well, the four-dimensional n plus one potential is just the standard potential. Then, but for my purposes, I'll call this combination the central charge. So it's written in this way to be similar to a black hole potential. And well, omega is the homomorphic preform of the Calabi-Yau, and by Zi, I'll denote the complex structure moduli. So now the homomorphic sections that I was showing on the previous slides are given just by the periods of the homomorphic preform. And well, then one can also write the homomorphic preform in terms of expansion in the basis of preforms. And one can see that the Keller potential has this canonical form that I showed for, on the previous slide for the Keller potential, special Keller geometry. Now, to understand how the flux vacua attractors come about, let's first see how to derive the black hole attractors in the case when there are black hole solutions in this type 2B case, quantification on Calabi-Yau oriented folds. So as I said, the central charge is this combination, where H is the NST form flux. And the idea that Kalush had was that you can expand the NST form flux into different ways. One way is just this one, expanding in terms of the basis T forms. And another way is in terms of omega in its derivatives, where actually that's omega hat is the homomorphic preform multiplied by equal the Keller potential over 2. And in supersymmetric minima, this condition has to be satisfied, so this expansion is really just that. And now comparing those two, one can read off the supersymmetric attractor equations for black holes. So the idea then is to try to use the same logic to compare different expansions for fluxes in a more involved case. So now for the flux buffer attractors, there are Ramon and NSP forms. And one can expand them again in terms of the three forms, the base of three forms. And the superpotential of the n equals 1 theory has this form. This is the standard Gokul Battle Witten superpotential. Tau is the axion dilaton. The carrier potential has this form. And then one can introduce a four form, which is a combination of the three form fluxes. And to write them in this way, one also uses a certain basis for a T2, which is the auxiliary torus in the FTL description of the vacuum. So then the idea that Kalosh had was, let's compare this expansion of this four form with an expansion of this form, which this is omega is the four form, the homomorphic four form of the collabial four. And again, in supersymmetric minima, this first derivative would be zero. So then we just compare this with the above. And one can read off the proposal of Kalosh for plus Bakke attractors. And so those QH and QF denote the H charges and the F charges. And this V is, these are the symplectic sections. Those symplectic sections are defined with the full carrier potential, not just the carrier potential for the complex structure moduli. So I should point out that although this may seem very clear, it was not checked explicitly in the literature that those equations indeed give supersymmetric minima. And here comes the new work. So one of the results of this work is that there's this explicit analytic verification. Actually, there was a numerical check by Zhiryavets, but this is the first time where there's analytic verification that those new attractor equations, Kalosh called them new attractors, do indeed give solutions under supersymmetric conditions. And because there is explicit analytic proof of that, one can understand how the conjectures of the Lagata fail. So for the BI Z derivatives to be zero, this condition is due just to the special carrier geometry of the complex structure moduli. However, it turns out that in the Kalosh proposal, the tau derivative is zero because this condition is satisfied. And the conjecture that the Lagata has is to treat, his conjecture is for the case of one Keller modulus for the heterotic. And in that case, his motivation is that the heterotic superpotential looks very much like the type 2B superpotential in the case that Kalosh proposed the attractors. So he proposed then to treat this one Keller modulus in the same way as tau. And his proposal for attractors is to have the same equations, but instead of tau having t. And that doesn't work. Yeah, so that doesn't work exactly because the carrier potential for T is different from that one for tau, and this condition is not satisfied for the heterotic case. So for the proposal of the Lagata still satisfies those SUSY conditions, but does not satisfy this condition. And
that should be just that multiple covariant derivatives would be expressed as linear.
Well, that's just I can show that because of properties of special carrier geometry, the new attractors is wide up. But I cannot go into detail. That's actually kind of technical computation. But basically, all one needs to show that the new attractors is wide up is to use several special properties of special geometry. But again, I mean, that will be explained in detail in the paper. That's technical. So let's see now how I can generalize the new attractors. As I said, the conjecture of Lagata fails, but that doesn't mean that there are no new attractors, just that the basic idea is to treat the Keller moduli analogously to the complex structure moduli and not to tau, which makes a lot of sense. So for SU3 structure, people may know manifolds of SU3 structure are described in terms of a three form and the two form. And in fact, it's more convenient to use E2 minus J as opposed to just J, because in the even more general case of SU3 times SU3 structure, the manifolds are described in terms of two pure spinors, and they reduce to, in the SU3 structure case, to omega and to E2 minus J, not to omega and J. So these are more convenient for what I intend to do next. And again, one can expand them in terms of basis of forms. Alpha and beta are again three forms, basis of three forms, whereas this contains 0 and 2 forms, and this contains 4 and 6 forms. And one can reduce holomorphic symplectic sections, well, Kubernetes holomorphic symplectic sections, whereas now the special Keller geometries of the complex and Keller structure moduli are factorized. In the Kalush proposal, they were not really factorized because the sections for the complex structure moduli contained the full Keller potential, whereas here everything is factorized. And well, remember that the superpotential for the heterotic compactified NSFD structure manifolds has this form, where this JC is the complexified Keller form, is the B field. And so it depends both on Keller and complex structure moduli. And in terms of those symplectic sections, one can rewrite this central charge in this very nice form, where those M and V are charges. Their zeroth components come from the expansion of the NS3 form flux, and the other components come in the following way. So for Calabi-Yau, you know very well probably that all basis forms are closed. However, for SVP structure, they are not. And their non-closure is described in terms of those constants, which are alpha charges. And actually, SVP structure is a special case of SVP times SVP structure in the sense that, well, if one defines some generic charge matrix in SVP times SVP structure, all charges will be non-zero, and there will be more terms here. Whereas for SVP structure, half of this matrix is identically zero. This half is always zero. And now, similar to the Delagatta, one can introduce a double section in this way. Actually, he was introducing that double section. But the natural proposal for generalization is, in fact, this. So another comparison to Delagatta, since apparently you know his work, he was proposing minus 2 times imaginary part, but that's also wrong. The reason he was wrong on that was because, well, I don't know, he didn't really compute the correct normalization for the section. So the correct proposal for attractors is this. However, now one can show, again, using properties of special geometry, that this proposal only gives supersymmetric minima when z is zero. So in fact, there are only attractors for Minkowski vacua. So these are the attractor equations for Minkowski vacua. For, well, z being equal to zero means that the superpotential is zero. That's why I'm saying that these are Minkowski vacua. But generically, when z is not zero, this would not give supersymmetric minima of the potential. And well, let me go now to the most general case of SVP times SVP structure quantifications. And well, I'll consider both type 2A and type 2B. So as I was saying before, such SVP times SVP structure spaces are characterized in terms of a pair of so-called pure spinors, which one can just think of them as phi minus would be a sum of all odd forms and phi plus a sum of all even forms. And well, they reduce in the SVP structure case phi minus reduces to omega, and phi plus to e to minus jc. And again, the moduli arise as the coefficients in the expansion of phi minus and phi plus in terms of the basis forms. And people have shown, well, Grana, Lewis, and Waldrum have shown that the moduli spaces for the formations of phi plus and phi minus do have special Keller geometry, and these are their Keller potentials. These brackets denote Mukai pairing. And I'm not going to go into details, but this is just a six form that can be integrated over the internal manifold. So both those Keller potentials determine special Keller metrics. And another property of those SVP times SVP structure spaces is that the basis forms are not closed. And now one can see the appearance of all the charges that I introduced already in the charge matrix before. However, for the SVP structure case, some of them were identically zero. Whereas now, all of them are present. And this is just some generalization of the exterior differential that I'm not going to go into much detail about it. But it still maps even forms into odd forms and odd forms into even forms. And so far, generically, this SVP times SVP quantification of type 2 has two internal spinors, so it gives n equals 2 effective theory. So we're interested in n equals 1 truncations, and this can be due to oriented folding or spontaneous partial Fussy breaking, but for me, it doesn't matter how the n equals 1 truncation comes about, so I'm not going to concentrate that anymore. And for definiteness, let's now first look at type 2a, and we know normal fluxes. The superpotential is known to have this form. Again, this work of Granovitz, Waldrum, and various other people. And pi plus was the even pure spinner, whereas pi minus is now, so this is the correct n equals 1 variable. It's a complexification of pi minus with the Waldrum and Ramon potentials. And again, one can expand pi minus in the basis forms in order to get the moduli. And the central charge has this very nice form. So in the heterotic case, you remember it is just half of it. The other charges were identically zero. And one would think now that things should go very similarly to the heterotic case. However, it turns out that the Keller potential for the moduli space parameterized by those x and g is actually not special Keller. So in this form, it looks very similar to special Keller, apart from this factor of 2. But it's not special Keller, not just because of this factor of 2, but also g and x are not projective, and they're independent. In the special Keller case, g could be viewed as derivatives of the prepotential with respect to x, whereas here they're independent. So the Susi conditions are the derivatives with respect to the, let's say, Keller moduli, and also those sets of independent conditions. So it may seem like things don't work out, but one can still show, although in a different way, it's still technical, but one can show that there are again Minkowski attractors for type 2, and well, they look in this way. And for type 2b, as is well known in that kind of literature, the type 2b case is obtained just by substituting in a type 2a, pi plus with pi minus, and the odd with even potentials. So the superpotential looks in this way, so everything is the same. So again, one has Minkowski attractors, so only the role of indices is exchanged. And well, in principle, one would like to understand whether this can be extended with Ramonomal fluxes, but I don't have much time, so let me just give the summary. So we have considered flux vacuum attractors. Well, the first result is that we have shown analytically that the Kalosh proposal does give supersymmetric minima. So that proposal will suggest for type 2b Calabi-Yauri folds. And well, another result is that our considerations disprove the conjectures of the Logata for the heterotic case. And also, it turns out that there are Minkowski attractors for the heterotic Onesi 3 structure and type 2a and type 2b Onesi 3 structure, which is the biggest generalization of the original Calabi-Yauri entipoles that the attractors were proposed for. And of course, there are various open issues. For example, one would like to understand at the conceptual level why there are no ADS attractors. Technically, it's very clear, but perhaps some conceptual reason exists, which I don't know yet. Also, it would be interesting to understand whether there could be non-supersymmetric attractors. Like for the black hole case, there are such. Also, it would be interesting to understand better how to include the Ramon-Ramon flux. And of course, the most important point is to understand whether these attractor equations can say something about modular stabilization. So, well, thanks for your attention.
We have time for one very urgent question.
Yes, I have a quick question. So you said that you verified the Kalosh proposal. So as far as I know, there aren't many explicit solutions in the literature. Did you by any chance solve a few cases explicitly, found exact solutions?
No. I know that the Zhiryavets numerical tests
right.
were
non numerically, I guess.
Yeah, they were proving in some particular case. So I haven't proved any particular case. I just showed in the most general analytic equations. They always should give supersymmetric minima. Okay. But I haven't proved any examples.
Okay, let's thank Lily again.